Let's get started. Could you state your full name, please?
Heather Davis, D-A-V-I-S.
And your date and place of birth?
Halifax, Nova Scotia, April 14th, 1939.
Okay. When did you come to St. Mary's?
September 30th, 1968.
68. And what were you hired as originally?
I came here as the first secretary of the Departments of Biology and Chemistry, and it was the year that the science building opened.
I see. So there hadn't been departments of chemistry and biology?
No.
And how has your role at the university changed over the years that you've been here?
You mean my position? I was in the science area for about 8 months, or no, maybe a year, it's hard to say, but maybe a year. And then I went from there and I became the first secretary of the academic vice president at St. Mary's University. And I was there approximately 20 to 21 years, and I served 5 academic vice presidents. And from there, I came to serve as secretary to the Senate office.
Mm-hmm. So how long have you been here?
It's about four and a half years.
Do you recall the names of the academic vice presidents that you served?
The first one was Dr. G.W. Tate, S.J. He was a Jesuit. And the next one was Dr. Hugh Gillis, and then Father Stewart, and then Dr. John Owen, and then Dr. Joseph Jabra.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so you were hired around the time that the Jesuits were giving over administrative control in St. Mary's.
Yes,
Republic.
That's right.
What changes did you notice when that happened in the school?
Well, obviously the number one change that strikes everyone, I think, is the fact that it became co-ed. And this has proven to be a good thing in the sense that it has grown with the male and female genders. Let me see what. There were so many changes. Changes as well. Various openings came, like in the commerce area, and different departments opened up. It almost like expanded, like a hand, the fingers of a hand type of thing, like an opening. And the room was made for disabled people, which had not been made before in the line of ramps and things like that. And an awful lot, maybe too many in a sense, of foreign students came. So
you didn't notice very many foreign students when you
No. Were you? Not at that time, but that doesn't represent St. Mary's University. I think what happened was that the world changed then, and St. Mary's University didn't change by itself. St. Mary's University changed with the growth of the world. Like years ago, you used to go over to London, England, to have your vacation, but now you can sit around your dining room table with a group of Englishmen and have tea. The world itself has changed. It has grown and it's not been stifled anymore in the sense that the global world has opened up and people have become equal to equal type of thing. And that's what St. Mary's in itself expanded with the world. I don't know if you know what I mean.
I see what you mean. More kind of an interaction.
St. Mary's didn't expand by itself, all universities did.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Because if you did not, you were stifled, and you really became meaningless because you didn't really serve the purpose of what the growth was doing.
How did the university change when women started coming here?
I honestly didn't notice any drastic change because I almost accepted them. I think they grew into an acceptance. I don't know if there was any change. I know when I went to classes at St. Mary's, I was the only girl in a group of boys, and then I thought it was odd. But I suppose the classrooms in itself expanded with the girls, and the girls brought in their own women's ideas. And before then, I suppose the women's ideas were not thought of, type of thing. But I suppose, in a sense, it's the same with the world too. You know, years ago when you turned on television, you had all men. And now you have a choice of women or men, and I think was a very good thing that it went co-ed, because if it didn't go co-ed, I think it would have been lost in the shuffle.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Why is that?
Well, people don't accept the fact that institutions are only for one gender anymore.
So, since you were mentioning the great growth and size the university has had since 1968, what effect does that have in the type of school that it's been?
Well, many areas were opened mm-hmm. up, it grew. You know, for instance, the international growth of over in China and Bermuda and things like that. Before then, it didn't have an international outlook. So the expansion probably opened up that different avenues.
So when there were only a couple thousand students here and now it's tripled,
mm-hmm.
Do you feel that that's changed? Just the number of bodies on
yes,
campuses?
Yes, definitely, yeah. When I came to St. Mary's, I would say that I knew the name of every student, mostly every student. Obviously, I'd be lying if I said every student, but mostly every student I knew the name. But now you pass people in the corridor, and you don't know if they're students of St. Mary's or Dalhousie or if they're visitors, and you just don't know them because you don't know everybody. And in fact, I suppose in a sense you don't want to know everybody.
Mm.
But the small-time family atmosphere has certainly expanded into a much wider universe.
Okay, let's see. Have you noticed any changes in student population in terms of their age?
Oh, yes, yeah. There's an awful lot of older people here. And years ago, the St. Mary's only provided courses to students of, say, 17 to 23 years of age. But that, in a sense, as well, all universities are equally the same. That years ago, a college education usually only went to the people of that age, but now people are feeling that they're not dying when they're 50 years old. They're reborn, or whatever
mm-hmm.
their feeling is, and that they can go out and take courses, even undergraduate degree courses at that age.
Mm-hmm. So when unionization took place, do you feel that that changed your job at all?
No.
No?
No. I was not in the union when I was in, of course, when I came here, the union didn't exist. There was no union, of course. And I suppose it began when I was in the vice president's office, and at that point I wasn't eligible to be a member of the union. But I am in the union now, and I think perhaps if the union was wiped out tomorrow, it wouldn't be a loss to the university.
Mm-hmm.
I don't really feel there's any need for a staff union at St. Mary's University. If I want a day off or something of that nature, I usually deal directly with the director of personnel, Mr. Dan Stone, who certainly is doing an excellent job. And I don't know what purpose the union serves. So, you know, it's probably a nice little social group. But there are dues, of course, that you pay in your paycheck. And you wonder if that's money down the drain. You know, the university is functioning the same as far as the benefits and type of thing as it has years ago. I mean, the benefits have increased, but so have the benefits on the outside world increased. And I don't know if the union, if that is the result of having a staff union at St. Mary's University. I honestly don't feel that they're of any use.
Mm. So do you think, you were mentioning before of all the different expansions that have happened at this school, do you feel the opportunities for students at St. Mary's have changed over the years?
Oh, they've increased, yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, certainly a wider choice, yes, definitely. Yeah. I think that as far as their usefulness on the outside world, there are much more courses being offered that you can use. Years ago, of course, I majored in philosophy, but years ago that was the main trend of having the basic English and French and math and philosophy. And now there are much more, like, for instance, IDS, International Development Studies, and things like that of interest to a much wider group of people.
Mm-hmm. When did you attend classes here?
I was attending classes when I came here, but I graduated in arts in 1974.
Oh, I see. So you were working and taking classes at
home? Yes, yes. But I had most of my courses from Mount St. Vincent before I came to St. Mary's. But I finished my arts degree at St. Mary's and got the arts degree in 1974.
Mm-hmm. Was that a general trend? Did a lot of women start at St. Mary's, start at Mount St. Vincent and move over?
No.
Okay.
No, it was very different from the average.
Mm-hmm. So how have research facilities and actual physical buildings on campus, what changes have you noticed in that area?
When I came here, of course, there was only this building and the science building, and all the other buildings have since been built.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that expansion has taken place. But, you know, the tower, for instance, they accommodate the recreation and of course, the library, they accommodate the needs of the research in the libraries to, you know, if you're studying.
Mm-hmm.
So as far as the physical side is concerned, you know, the buildings popped up everywhere.
Yeah. Do you feel that there's been a big change in the research facilities?
I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Not a lot of people, faculty, seem to go in for that type of thing. But I know there are a lot of research grants provided and offered to faculty.
Mm-hmm.
And they seem to be able to do their own thing.
Mm-hmm. What changes in growth have you noticed in the staff over the years?
Well, they obviously, when the new departments came up, staff was employed to fill them. So as an area grew, the staff grew. I can remember when I first came here, we had a tiny little room, it was called our lunch room, and we used to play bridge in that room. There was only a very, very few of us who were staff members, and now there are quite a number of staff members, and you don't have that same sort of a birthday party group to play bridge with. So they've expanded, you know.
Mm-hmm. And you said that your staff benefits have increased over the years? In what
way? Well, not only at St. Mary's, but the world has changed.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as far as... like when I came here, there was this a caste system, and staff was not permitted to join the pension plan. But it was available to the faculty and for the senior administration. Now, since that time, although I didn't have the benefit of being in all my years at St. Mary's, since that time it has become available to people who enroll as staff at St. Mary's. And that is one major change that... people now have the benefits of having a pension, whereas it was not offered to staff when I came here.
Mm-hmm.
We were not permitted to join it.
Yeah. Did the ways the staff interact socially change over the years, considering the growth in size and that kind of thing?
I suppose it's the same as in any institution. Yeah, I suppose you're right. See, when I came here, there was only a small amount of people, and everybody knew what everybody was doing. But I really can't speak for the social life of the rest of the clan now. But years ago, everybody knew what everybody was doing.
Mm-hmm. Close knit.
Yes, yeah.
And did you go out together as a group often or that kind of thing?
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I've maintained friendships with the people that I worked with 26 years ago who are now gone from St. Mary's. But people who are employed at St. Mary's now, they come and go, and sometimes you don't even know their first names. It's sometimes a fast entrance and exit, but years ago it wasn't the case.
Well, that's about all I wanted to cover, unless you can think of any other changes over time that stand out.
Sina, I think you've covered everything, Angela. I know the Jesuits who were in administration when I came here. I've maintained a close relationship with them all these years, and you know, they've come to my home, and they've been to my family's home, my mother's home, and I've never broken the tie of those Jesuits. So even though that they left the administration, I didn't seem to leave them, or they didn't seem to leave me. So in the sense that although they've gone from running around the corridors, I still see them on the outside world, and I've never really felt that they've left. Mm-hmm. In the sense, let's see now. I think that's basically everything. I mean, you can go on for hours and hours and hours about your memories, but it may become repetitive for you, like most people have similar memories. Yeah, you know.
Are there any things in particular that stand out in your mind, events or that kind of thing?
Oh dear! You mean good or bad or ugly?
Yeah, either or.
Let me see now. I don't think I can think of anything striking. You know, there's so many. I know that I became a very good friend of Father Brooke Gaffney, who the astronomer at St. Mary's, and. When he became ill and old and went to St. Vincent's Guest House, I also went there numerous times to visit him. And I suppose his relationship with me and my relationship with him was probably the high point of my life at St. Mary's, I would think. I would think that some of the people that I met here through the years was the most striking part of working at St. Mary's, not the day-to-day answering phone calls and responding to people's mail and things like that, because in the sense that you can do that anywhere. But I think that the people that I met that I came to have a very close relationship with my most valued point of working at St. Mary's. Mm-hmm. I don't know if I've said that correctly, but I know that, like, some of the people that I've met at St. Mary's, who of course have died now, their memory will never leave me. And perhaps if I was not working at St. Mary's University, I would not have met these people. And, you know, I'll use, you know, say Father Brooke Gaffney did become my best friend, and I enjoyed his company very much as a scholar and as a friend.
Mm-hmm.